Well, let's look at the scripture, 1 John. Let's turn there, 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15. First John 2:15, and it says, I'll wait till everybody gets there. This scripture, I want you to know, this can really help you see things a different way and really help you understand the world that we're living in and how God sees us, okay? It says, do not love the world or anything in the world, okay? And this is serious stuff because Jesus says, excuse me, Paul right here, or John, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, okay? For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. What you need to understand is when it says, do not love the world or anything in it, we're talking about a world system, okay? The world system is totally opposed to God, to Jesus, and anything that God is trying to do, okay? The world system is controlled by Satan, all his demons and whatever, okay? And it is opposed to God, absolutely opposed to God and everything that he wants to do. And it's like the enemy of God. So if you're going to be buddy-buddy and friends with the world and love the things of the world, you've kind of become God's enemy in a sense, okay? You can't really be on both sides of the fence at the same time. Not with God, you can't, you know? Because the scripture says, do not love the world or anything in the world. We're not talking about the mountains and the oceans and the beauty, you know, all the animals. We're talking about a system that is controlled basically by Satan. You know, the Bible calls him the god of this world. Didn't you ever hear that before? You ever read that in your Bible? It says Satan is the god of this world. Okay, and it's a system that Satan is controlling that is absolutely, totally opposed to God or anything good. Okay, so the things that make up the world's system of evil and rebellion against God, that's what we're talking about. And so here it says to be careful, do not, it's a command, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, you only got so much love and you got to go one way or the other. Either you're loving the Father God or you're loving the world, okay, and the world's system and the things of the world. Okay, you follow me now? It's like I say, you can't be on both sides of the fence. Your love is towards Father God and you love him and are going to obey him, or you're loving the world system. And what I found out from studying this is that what happens when you, remember I used to have that saying, I've said it a lot, I know you've heard it, that if you work in a coal mine, there's no way you're going to come out of that coal mine at the end of the day without having coal dust on you, or black suit, you know what I'm saying? There's no way you're going to work in a coal mine without coming out of that thing without dust on you. And you know, we live in this world, so there's no, every one of us, I guess what I'm trying to say is every one of us has been affected to a certain extent by the world system, you know, the things that we may have been doing or loving that we shouldn't be, right? Because how do we live? We're born and raised in this system. And there's things about it that maybe we've kind of motivated us, you know, or we've kind of moved towards loving it, you know. And what it does is, the way you know that, you know, this love of the world has kind of gotten into your life in certain areas is because the joy of the Lord just doesn't seem to be there anymore, okay? Reading the Bible, going to church gets kind of boring. You understand what I'm saying? You get this? What it does is because that love for God is kind of not there no more. It's more over into loving the world system and the things, the pleasures. You know, it lists here, it says, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, The boasting of what he has does not come from the Father, but from the world. And so church and God and praying and worship God and singing is not really all that exciting anymore, because I want to go on Sundays. I want to go do this. I want to do that. And not just on Sundays, but every day of the week. You know, I want to do things that are part of the world system that, you know what it does? It appeals to your flesh. You understand what I'm saying? The things that appeal to your flesh and other things, that's what excites you the most. That's what you want to do the most, right? So now, coming to church, worshiping God, reading your Bible becomes boring. That's the tip-off. That's the red flag that pops up that, uh-oh, I'm getting over into the world system where all my attention and love is more in that area than it is in God, because it steals away the love that you should be focusing towards God, and all the joy and the pleasures of being with the Lord is in the world system. You see, you can't be in two things at one time. See, either you, that's what it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is a very serious statement. You see, I didn't write the Bible, right? But I talk about it and I teach about it, and the Lord reveals, saying this is something that is, that's everybody's getting caught up with, and we have to, if we're not aware of it, say, you'll get a lot pulled into the world system and start loving it so much that you find it hard to have a lot of joy and intense love towards God. You know, you see what I'm saying? Because, you can't love the world and love God too, because the world is his enemy, right? What if you have a mortal enemy that just hates you, wants to kill you? He will at the first chance he gets, right? And then you have a friend who's your friend, but then you find out he's also trying to be friends with this one guy that wants to kill you, right? Now, how's that going to go over? You know what I mean? That's not going to go over too good, is it? Huh? You thought your friend was over here, was your friend, but no, they're over here, you know, buddy-buddy with the enemy. So, the world that's talked about here in this scripture, do not love the world. It is the world named here as our enemy is an invisible spiritual system opposed to God in Christ. Okay? Just like you hear the TV announcer say, we'll bring you the news from the world of sports. Okay? From the world of sports. It's an organized, you know, we see the guys playing the game on the field, but there's a world of sports. There's all the behind the scenes people that control it and, you know, present it, you know. And, it's an organization, this world of sports, it's an organization, organized system made up of a set of ideas, people, activities, purposes, you know, and you've heard the world of finance and the world of politics, see. There's all these unseen people behind that system that's bringing you the politics, that's bringing you, you know, the finance, the world of finances, so on and so on. And that's what keeps things going, this invisible behind-the-scenes world of, you know, the ones that gather all this stuff, and they're invisible, they're working back there. The world in the Bible is Satan's system, okay, for opposing the work of Christ on earth. It is the very opposite of what is godly, holy, and spiritual. So you have to, when you see this and you go, oh my gosh, you know, I'm in this world and there's this world system controlled by Satan, and it is absolutely opposed to God and anything good, you know. And then there's my spiritual world with Jesus, amen. And you realize, God says, and the Bible says, do not love the world or anything in the world. You need to start examining your life and make sure that you're not deep into the world system to where that's where your joy and your pleasures are at. Okay? Because that will steal the joy out of you for the Lord. Amen? Coming to church will be boring. I don't have time for everything else becomes more important, you see, because you've gotten into the world system. The things of the world will suck the joy right out of you. All your love for God, your faithfulness for God, it all becomes boring, and I don't want to do this, and the joy isn't there like it was when you first got saved and born again. Man, you know, I remember that. That's all I wanted to talk about was Jesus. I was just, man, I was ready to just go to heaven right now, man. It was just great. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Okay? In 1 John 5:19, look at that. Verse 19, 1 John 5:19 says, "We know that we are children of God, and that the whole," what? The whole what?
World.
The world. Not just part of the world, right? Not just the United States or Russia, right? The whole world. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
The whole world is under the control of the evil one. Now, I wonder who that is. The devil, right? Satan, the one that's opposed to God. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. See, we've been totally deceived, okay? We have been not been taught this. We just think, oh, the world's great. You think these politicians are of God? Are you kidding me? This whole system of politics and things on this earth, everything is pretty much manipulated by this world, you know, system, which Satan is the head of, right? Are you guys hearing me now? This is serious. You need to understand the separation of the two. Amen? Your love for God. Remember, now you're born again. You're a citizen of heaven, right? You have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You belong to God. Amen? And when I was studying this, there was one article that said how, you know, in the world today, all they're talking about is the pollution of the atmosphere of the, you know, what air we breathe. You know, they're talking about that pollution. But it says that for Christians, it's the spiritual pollution on this earth that is so bad. He said, as a Christian, you couldn't even really even breathe spiritually on this earth if it wasn't for the things that God has endowed us with, you know, being baptized, having the Holy Spirit live in us, you know, the word of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the word of God, the blood, you know, it's almost unbreathable spiritually on this planet. And we couldn't even make it if it wasn't for God and or the Holy Spirit in us helping us every day. If he hadn't left us with the things, the, you know, the prayer that we can pray, we can use the name of Jesus, we have the word of God. If it wasn't for those things, we would suffocate. The world is polluted so spiritually. It is so evil and dark and wicked. And I think probably things are going to be happening, you know, not too distant future that's going to shock people. This is unbelievable. But, you know, we don't put our hope in this world system to save us. With these elections and all this stuff coming up, it's, you know, if people, I hope they don't think we're electing a savior because it's not good no matter which way you look at it. Jesus is our savior. Amen. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And so our only hope is in Jesus. This world system, including the politics, even our educational systems, every kind of system you can think of is really part of this world. And a lot of churches even today are really getting messed up, you know, in what they believe, what they're teaching. You have to be so very careful, especially in the end times, because there's so much deception, you see. So much deception. You've got to know your Bible, and you've got to pray, because you can't just listen to somebody on TV or some church, you know, that tells you anything. You know, they may send you down the wrong trail. It has to be the Bible. It has to be teaching from the Bible, right?
Right.
Inspired, anointing teaching. It has to be the Word of God. It can't just be, people will tell you anything, you know. Unfortunately, there's people in the pulpit that, I don't know who they're working for, but I don't think they're working for God. And different things. The devil has an organization of evil spirits working with him and influencing the affairs of this world. You know, if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, and verse 11, it says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's what, four different divisions of wickedness, you know? It's not so much man or flesh, it's your real enemy, and the forces coming against you are spiritual forces, and they are controlling much of what is going on this earth, all these systems. And so we have to make sure what John and what the scriptures are warning us against is the love of this world, okay? The world's system and its appeal to our flesh and our lower natures. The things that take you away from your relationship with God, okay? Everybody got that? How do you know that you're getting involved in worldly stuff? It's pulling you away from God. You don't enjoy your relationship with God. You don't want to be around Christians. You don't want to go to church. You want to read your Bible. It's all boring. It's not interesting. Well, why is that? I mean, Jesus died for you and saved you to keep you from going to hell. He's given you eternal life. You have all the promises of the Bible. Why would you not be excited about God instead of, I don't want, I'm just kind of losing interest in all that, and I'm going this other way because I like to play golf on Sunday. I want to do this, and it just doesn't fit into my schedule, you know. It's just Christian stuff is kind of cramping my style. You understand, the world and the stuff of the world, the all the lure and the glitter of the world is, you know, you're going after that instead of after God. See, this world system will just kind of pull you away, and it starts breaking off your relationship with God because you can't go both ways. Amen? And so the devil, he's not doing it all by himself, but he has this organization, the world system, with all the demons and all the powers and principalities, all the stuff it talks about. They're all in there. They're all influenced. It can't really make you do anything, but they're influencing people all over in government and everywhere. They don't realize it. They don't understand. They're kind of like puppets that Satan is kind of manipulating them. But see, the Holy Spirit wants to do that with us. He wants to speak to us and use us for his purposes, right? Satan is counterfeiting. He's doing the same thing. And if you have no spiritual knowledge, if you're spiritually blinded, he's going to manipulate you, and he's going to be using you for his evil purposes. He's going to, besides destroying your life, he's going to use you to start a war or get drunk and hit somebody head on the road and kill them. Or there's all kinds of things that he will try to do in your life, destroy your life and your family. You know, unsaved people, whether they realize it or not, are energized by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Unsaved people belong to this world. Jesus calls them the children of this world. In Luke 16:8, Jesus calls them the children of this world, okay? He doesn't call them, you know, the children of Father God, you know. Look at John 15:18. There's a scripture, I believe it's back in Jeremiah, that I think it's Jeremiah, it might be one other book, but God talks to the prophet and he tells him that, you know, if I tell you to go warn my people, you know, that they're doing this wicked, evil thing and all that, and they're going to suffer God's punishment and wrath and perish. And if you don't go tell them, okay, he said, not only is the person going to perish, but he says, their blood will be on your hands because you did not warn them. You understand? Okay. Amen, somebody? Amen. Head go like this or something, you know. So God tells the prophet, go warn these people because what they're doing is wicked and evil and they're going to be judged and perish, right? And if you don't do that, then not only do they perish, but their blood's going to be on your hand and you're going to have to be judged for that, right? But he says, but if you do go and tell them, if you obey me and you do go tell them that what they're doing is wrong and evil, they need to repent from it, okay? And they don't repent from it, then they'll perish. But if they do, then they'll be changed. But he said, I won't hold you responsible. You're not responsible. Their blood is not on your hands because you warned them. You understand what I'm saying? It's just like the Lord says, go stand on the road with a flare, man, and wave people down because the bridge is out, right? Because they're going to go right on by you and they're going to go off the bridge into the river and they're all going to die. And so if you don't do that, their blood's going to be on your hands. Because God told you to warn the people and stop them, right? And so if you didn't do that, you're going to be responsible for them. But if you do, you try to stop them and you tell them, hey, the bridge is out, and they just keep on going. Now, you're not responsible now, right? Because you obeyed God. Isn't that right? Amen? And in the same way, that's the way I feel a lot of times. It's not a popular message, you know, always. But the Lord says, you better warn people because if you don't, I'm holding you responsible, right? Isn't the pastor's like the under shepherd or something? Jesus is the big shepherd. But, you know, he'll say, you need to tell people this. And you need to warn them about the world system. Be careful because the scriptures are, I mean, this is pretty intense stuff. Do not love the world. Amen? Or if you do, the love of God is not in you. This is serious stuff. So we have to look at our lives and begin to see there's this world system run by Satan. Do we want to be involved in it, right? I don't want to be involved in it. It's death. It's going to take me away from the Lord. You know, all the joy and love I have for Jesus and for the Word and everything starts taking it away to where I'm bored with it. I don't want to pray anymore. I don't want to read the Bible anymore, or whatever, because the world system and the things of the world that appeals to my flesh are more fun. See, it's more fun to go do that kind of stuff than it is to follow the Lord. The path, the journey through life to get to the goal is sometimes pretty rough. There's all kinds of traps and snares. There's all kinds of rabbit trails going off that's trying to pull you off. Okay? You have to set your eyes on the goal, and we have to be humble. We have to submit ourselves to the Word. We can't think, old Brother Vic's up there preaching about this and that. Ah, that old guy, he's full of baloney, you know. I am so spiritual, I don't need to hear that. I can take care of myself, right? Well, it's not me, it's the Word. You know, I'm not saying submit to me, I'm saying here's the Word. We have to submit to the Word. We have to be, Jesus said, there'd be so much deception. Watch and pray. This is going to be perilous times that we're living in. That's, you know, perilous times. There's traps, there's snares, there's everything. There'll be stuff happening that it says even the elect could be deceived if it were possible. We're the elect. So it's important. Worldliness really is not so much a matter of activity as of attitude. It is possible for a Christian to stay away from questionable amusements and doubtful places and still love the world. For worldliness is a matter of the heart. To the extent that a Christian loves the world system and the things in it, he does not love the Father. Worldliness not only affects your response to the love of God, it also affects your response to the will of God. Okay? The world passes away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. When you put all these facts together that we've been talking about, you kind of come up with a practical definition of worldliness, okay? Anything, and this is what we'll say, a practical definition of worldliness is, anything in a Christian's life that causes him to lose his enjoyment of the Father's love or his desire to do the Father's will is worldly and must be avoided. Anything that causes you to lose your enjoyment of the Father's love or your enjoyment in doing his will and serving God that takes you away from that is worldliness. You know, there it talks about three things. It talked about the in that scripture there, First John 2:15. It says there was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Three things that will take you into the world system and away from God. You know, right in the beginning, in the garden, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. That's the lust of the flesh. And then it was pleasant to the eyes. That's the lust of the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. That's the pride of life. She took of the fruit. So we all know what happens, what all happened after that. The lust of the flesh includes anything that appeals to man's fallen nature. And the Bible says in Romans 7:18, let's look at that, Romans 7:18. Does anybody think that maybe at some point there they've been affected by the world system, or maybe they've enjoyed or participated in some of the things? This is like a big red flag and a warning from God about this. You've got to be aware that this world, things aren't just accidentally happening in this world. Okay? Things aren't just accidentally happening. There is an organized, demonic force system in place run by Satan that is manipulating and controlling most of what is going on in this earth. Okay? You've got to remember, the whole human race has fallen in sin. Satan kind of just took over, you know. Adam just handed it to him, right? We can't see them. They are invisible. It's this invisible system that's behind what is going on. Why are these madmen all over the earth wanting to start wars and kill people? You know, all the stuff that is going on. It is not just accidentally happening. And the world is moving towards really a crisis, you know, type situation. And it's just not an accident this is all happening, okay? So you have to become aware of the fact that this world system is being, who is it being controlled by, okay? We have to, you know, follow the Lord in the teachings, and we're not going to be in the majority, right? If we, you know, the world, Jesus said that the world hated him, and it's going to hate us too, right? If we kind of join in with the world and go with them, then they would love us, okay? You hear what I'm saying? The world will hate you if you follow Jesus, and there will be persecutions. If you go with the world and enjoy the things of the world and become part of the world system and live for just the flesh and what feels good, the world's going to love you because you're just one of them, right? That's Jesus said, hey, you know, they hated me first. You know, don't you think they're going to hate you, you know? And I'm just kind of paraphrasing that, but you can look that up. Hopefully some of you got concordances and different things, and you can look it up. You know, all you got to do is have one word. But in Romans 7:18, it says, Paul is speaking, and he says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. There's nothing good in your flesh nature, your old nature. There is absolutely no good in it, right? So we don't want to go back to the pleasing the flesh and all this. This leads you away from God. It'll lead you into sin. It'll lead you into the world system. You know, there's never anything good in the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. The Christian is to put no confidence in the flesh. He is to make no provision for the flesh. And actually, nowhere in the Bible, everything that God says about the flesh is negative. Okay, in the Bible, God, in the Scriptures, everything that is said about the flesh is negative. Okay? It's the old, you know, fallen nature, the thing that wants to do, craves to do the wrong things, you know. And, you know, the thing about it is you got to go through life like this. There is this battle. I mean, God has devised, this whole thing that we're going through is quite a test. I don't know if you guys realize it or not. To get to the end, you know, you're proven and you're tested when you walk through those heavenly gates, right? Those pearly gates. Everybody that has lived on this earth and has been born again and followed Jesus and finally made it to the goal line, man, you have been through the fire. Because everything in this world has been testing you and trying to pull you away from God. Okay? The whole system is rigged against you. I noticed one of the candidates was saying that the system is corrupt and it's all rigged. Well, it may be. I wouldn't doubt it. But it's also rigged against the Christian. You understand what I'm saying? It is rigged against you, this whole world system. And you have to walk this walk of faith with God. You've got to trust Him. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? I will fear no evil. That's what it is like walking through this life. It's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Everything is against you, man. It's rigged. See, the whole world system is controlled by Satan and the devils, and he, you know, he's against you. He is your enemy, right? And we could never make it. We could never make it if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit living in us, the Word of God, amen, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. You wouldn't have a chance. It'd be like that diver. I watched the program last night called Alaska Gold, or I don't know. These guys are in these boats. Bering Sea Gold, I think it was, where these guys are out there. They got these boats that float, and they send these divers down, and they got a giant hose that sucks the top of the ocean floor up, all the little rocks and sand goes up, goes through a dredge, and they get the gold out of it, you know. Well, that air, they got a pump up there, and there's an airline going down there. And those guys stay down there for 6 or 8 hours at a time, don't even come up. You know, Jesus is our air supply, man. He's the only thing that's keeping us from suffocating here, right? He is it. He's our life. He is our life. There is pressure to make Christians think the way the world thinks. There is intense pressure, especially in our schools with our young people. And even in our colleges, it's getting to be insane, the things that I read. It's going on in some of our colleges, you know. I don't know what's going on. It's becoming a, you know, like a social engineering type deal. You know, so let's get our kids educated, you know, within the science, mathematics and all the different, you know, things that we want to be education, but they get them in there. They're trying to do social engineering on our children and in grade schools and all up through college, you know. It's not good, but there's pressure. God warns us against the counsel of the ungodly. Okay? The world appeals to a Christian through the lust of the flesh, just like anybody else. We got flesh, right? And the things of the world appeal to our flesh. You have to be able to resist that and be strong enough and committed enough to God that you can resist this stuff. And you know it's just nothing but like the devil throwing in a big fishing lure trying to hook something and reel you in, right? He tries to put something out there that he thinks you're going to go for and get you onto it, because he's going to hook you, set the hook, and then he's going to pull you away from the Lord. You've got to know what is sinful, what is of the world. Reject it. Amen? You just don't go there. Period. The world appeals to the Christian through the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And once the world takes over in one of these areas, a Christian will soon realize it. He will lose his enjoyment of the Father's love and his desire to do the Father's will. The Bible will become boring and prayer a difficult chore. Even Christian fellowship may seem empty and disappointing. It is not that there is something wrong with others, however. What is wrong is the Christian's worldly heart. You understand? That's how it will affect you. It's important to note that no Christian becomes worldly all of a sudden. I have run into a lot of worldly Christians. They probably got born again. They love Jesus, but you know, then years down the road, you know, every other word out of their mouth is the F word. They're shacking up. They're not even married. They're drinking. I'm hearing a lot of stories now about pastors and their wives drinking, just having, you know, inviting couples over to their house and they're just drinking just like everybody else. I mean, it's once you start into this thing, it will totally corrupt you. You see, it's like a little yeast, right? You know what the Bible says? A little yeast will spoil the whole batch. Or one rotten apple in a barrel can rot out all the other apples. Worldliness creeps up on a believer. It's a gradual process. Okay? It talks about what time we got here. Well, let's go ahead and stop here. I can go on this for a long time. I hope that I, you know, sparked a little, you know, something in somebody that might have opened their eyes up to this, to the thing. I know there's a few, because I watch, you know, I can see who's getting a little, oh, you know, a little revelation of something or going, hey, I'm seeing that, you know. And others and I see going, you know, so. You know, you have to be willing to open yourself up to the Word of God and submit it. You know, it's not like, oh, I'm submitting to Pastor Rick. No, it's the Word. The Word is what we submit to, right? And sometimes we just turn it off, you know, when it comes to the Word of God. We just like click, we flip it off. I don't want to hear that, right? Because I'm going to have fun and I'm going to do what I want. And by golly, that preacher ain't going to tell me anything different. Well, that's up to you. I have no intention to try to, you know, I can't make anybody do anything. But the Lord, you know, makes it real clear that it's your responsibility to warn the people, to teach what I tell you to teach, right? And then each person then decides what they want to do to it, with it, right? That's just the way it is. But it's my job not to just be up here all the time and just tell you nice, sweet, juicy things. It's just going to make you feel good when you go home, right? We're in a world, man, that is just a snake pit. See, and there's a lot of, you know, enemies that want to destroy you. The goal is to stay on that path and reach the goal, amen, and our rewards in heaven, amen, and not get off and do bad things and whatever, come to destruction somehow. Amen? Glory to God. So that's what I'm trying to do. And praise God. So is there anyone who needs prayer today for anything? Yes.